Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Formeres and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, once again, it's so nice to meet with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. As we're gathering together at a small place here in town, just to step back for a bit, to enjoy a cup of coffee, tea, or perhaps water, and conversation, and visit about things of eternal consequence on Bible Talk. Hi, this is Bobby Hamlin.
And I'm Rich Ramirez, along with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Hi, Pastor Joe. It's good to be with you today.
Hi, Rich and Bobby. I am on the wagon today. It's just water, no coffee.
Wow. Yeah, you better qualify that.
Now, we've been digging deeply into God's Word, the Bible, like Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 5 describe, as seeking silver and searching for hidden treasures. And in particular, we've been looking at verses that discuss God's glorious salvation. Verses that are sometimes read quickly, missing some of the deep truths or hidden treasures found in the words. So let's turn to a very familiar verse, John 14, verse 6, and let's dig in deep. Pastor Joe, would you read that for us?
Sure, John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Okay, now, Jesus starts out by using the same name that God used when commissioning Moses at the burning bush, found in Exodus 3, verse 14, which reads, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." So let me ask you, Pastor Joe, is Jesus identifying himself as God, the I am?
He is indeed. The word I am, or the phrase I am, is a very rich and illustrative and very deep word. It's the name of God. It's the root name for Jehovah or Yahweh, meaning the self-existent one. And the background of this I am statement of our Lord Jesus is that there's a conversation Jesus had with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, a very important conversation. And the Pharisees asked Jesus in John 8:53, "Who do you make yourself out to be?" Or if we would say it in modern language, "Who do you think you are?" In his answer, Jesus says that he is the I am of the Old Testament. So let's just read his response in verses 56 through 59 of John 8. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So the whole issue, the stumbling block for the Jews here, is over his statement, I am, where he attributes deity to himself.
Sure. And that was very significant to these religious leaders when he said, I am.
It was more significant because the Jews had a very violent response to his saying, I am, and attributing it to himself. And the I am statement clearly means, and they understood what he was saying, that he is eternal God, the incarnate God in the flesh, the Creator. And so Jesus was equating himself with the I am title God gave himself in the verse you read from Exodus 3:14. Now, if Jesus had merely wanted to say that he existed before Abraham's time, he would have said, "Before Abraham was, I was." But the Greek word translated was, in the case of Abraham, and am, in the case of Jesus, are quite different words. Jesus did not say, "Before Abraham was, I was." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The word was and the word I am are two different words. And so the words chosen by the Spirit made it clear that Abraham was created, but Jesus had eternally existed. For example, we read about Jesus' pre-existence before Abraham, before the world was created as God. In John 1, 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So you see, the Jews understood that Jesus was saying that he was God, because they took up stones to kill him for making himself equal with God. That's what we read in John 5, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God."
You know, that verse that you read from John 1:1, if you go down to John 1:14, it elaborates on, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," identifying Jesus in human form.
Amen. This is a very powerful statement, because Jesus is taking unto himself not only the title of God, but he's profoundly professing that he is God himself. I've heard some theologians say, for Jesus to present his name as the I Am and to attribute deity to himself, he is either completely crazy for doing that, or he is very true. It is absolutely the truth. So if Jesus' statement about being the I Am of the Old Testament wasn't true, it would be blasphemy, in which was in the Mosaic law required him to suffer the death penalty, as found in Leviticus chapter 24. But Jesus committed no blasphemy here, because he was and is God himself, the second person of the Godhead, equal to the Father in every way, co-equal, co-eternal, as the confession goes. "For in him," the scripture says, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So what Jesus of Nazareth is saying is that he himself is Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord and creator of the universe. Now, Jesus used the same phrase, "I am," coincidentally, in seven places in the Gospel of John about himself. There's no other place in the Gospels, whether it be in Matthew, Mark, or in Luke, where Jesus uses the "I am" statement about himself. He combines the "I am" statement with tremendous metaphors that express that he alone is God, the only one who can save. All seven of these statements appear, as I said, in John. And no wonder, because the theme of the Gospel of John is the deity of Christ. And so it's no coincidence that we find seven "I am" statements, where he says, "I am the bread of life," for example, or "I am the light of the world," "I am the door of the sheep." He also said, "I am the good shepherd," "I am the resurrection and the life," "I am the way, the truth, and the life," the verse we're looking at right now, and "I am the true vine." And so, deliberately, the Holy Spirit has inspired the Gospel of John to focus and emphasize that Jesus is the I Am of the Old Testament, Almighty God, God Almighty. He is the eternal self-existent one. And so, Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses, liberals, agnostics, secular historians, and many others are perfectly happy to have Jesus merely be a wise teacher. However, as we've seen in this I Am statement, Jesus is infinitely more than just a wise teacher. He is God himself. Spend some time, my listening friend, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the great I Am of the Bible, God Almighty. He is the only one that can save. He is the only one that can mediate between God and man. He is the only one that can give us the forgiveness of our sins, because he is the I Am, the Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim of the Bible.
Now that brings us right to the next part of the verse, where Jesus says that he is the way to come to the Father, to God. Now, many people argue that there are many ways that lead to heaven, starting with all the different religions that you see out there. And then there are probably a lot of individual creative ways that they think will lead them to heaven as well. How would you answer those people?
Well, when Jesus says that he is the way to heaven and to God, he is the way for our sins to be forgiven, he is the only one that can bring us to God the Father, that's a pretty strong statement. It's a pretty profound statement, and it's gotten the attention of many people through the years, those who are in other religions or leaders of other religions, historians, teachers, philosophers, and it has stirred up the ire of many people. For him to say that, it makes him appear in the eyes of some people as being very exclusivistic or arrogant, and it makes him appear also that he rejects everybody else except those who put their trust in him. But if it weren't true, like I said earlier, it would make him seem crazy. But the Bible is very insistent, not just in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus proclaims that he is the only way to God, but everywhere else in the Bible, the 44 different authors from Genesis through Revelation profoundly agree with Christ that he is the only way to God. Jesus used the definite article, the, to distinguish himself as the only way, the exclusive way to God, to heaven.
Right, because otherwise he would say, a way. I am a way. But he didn't. He said, I am the way.
Yeah, he's the way, the one and only way. A way is a path or a route. And the disciples had expressed their confusion about where he was going in the context of John 14 and how they could possibly follow him. As he had told them from the beginning, Jesus was again telling them, and he's telling us as well, follow me. There's no other path to heaven. There's no other way to the Father. Peter reiterated this same truth about Jesus being the way years later in his sermon to the rulers in Jerusalem in the book of Acts chapter 4. Peter said, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That's pretty clear.
Indeed, it's very clear. Also, the Apostle John made it clear in 1 John 5 where he said, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So these verses clearly teach the exclusive nature of the only path to salvation is expressed in the words, I am the way, that Jesus said. So it's not a matter of trying Jesus, as the bumper sticker says, you know, try God, try Jesus. It's a matter of understanding and believing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. If we don't believe that he's the only way, then we cannot get to heaven. The Bible is not arrogant in saying that, because it's the truth. And Jesus humbly says that to his followers and all those who would listen, including our listeners right now.
Right. And even if you say, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, that seems exclusive and cutting people out. It really isn't, because God draws those who are his children. He draws us and people from other religions as well.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Jesus does not reject anyone. He says, and him that comes to me, I will in no ways cast out. He says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Regardless of who a person is, man, woman, boy or girl, regardless of their background, ethnicity, level of education, financial status, there is no partiality with God.
Yes. And it's never too late, right? Your eyes could be opened on your deathbed when you realize that Jesus is the Messiah, the one way.
as long as you have breath and you can think and understand, there is hope for you.
Now, Pastor Joe, still talking about the way. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, talk about two gates or two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. Could you clarify what is meant by those two paths?
Well, Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who go in that way. He is saying that most people live for themselves. They live for their selfish desires, their lustful sins, and they put the best interpretation on their relationship with God. And the Bible is not their sole criteria for understanding the way of salvation. And so they hope for the best. Therefore, they blindly go down a broad way, like most people, leading to destruction, leading to hell, leading to damnation. Jesus says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. And there are comparatively, proportionately, few people who use the Bible alone and the gospel, that is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, as defined by the Bible, as the standard and the source of information, the only truth they use to find God and to understand God. And so that's what Jesus means where he says, few there are that find it. Most people either have their own independent, subjective view of God as their source. And if we look at it that way, there are 7 billion people in this world approximately, and 99% of them or more have a slightly different view of reality and heaven and God and how to get there. But the Bible teaches that there's only one way, one truth, and one path that leads to God. And so we find, therefore, that most people are not using the Bible's definition of truth as the only source of information to lead them to God. So narrow is the way. Few there are that find it, because few there are that use the Bible alone to guide them to heaven, and the words of Christ alone in the Bible to guide them to heaven.
But even on that broad path, there are those that have a religious belief, even call themselves Christian. But our Lord says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so sometimes we think we're on that narrow path, but we're veering off into the worldly, wide, broad path.
Well, there are many worldly people, non-Christian people, who think they are Christians, who call themselves Christians, who may be churchgoers. They're religious, but they don't have a knowledge of God in their hearts. They don't know God spiritually. They have never been born from above or born of the Spirit. And so they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power and reality of what it means to be a Christian in their hearts. Many profess to know him, but in works they deny him. As the passage says that you quoted in Matthew 7, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, in that day, in judgment day, have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And have we not done many wonders in your name? And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity or sin. So there's a lot of religious people who are involved in religious works and religious activities. They go to church, they give money to the poor, but in their hearts, where it really counts, there is no vertical relationship between them and God. In their heart, connected with God's heart, there's emptiness, there's nothing there, there's no life. They have everything religious on the outside, but nothing in terms of a bond and a saving relationship with the living God on the inside. And the only way that that relationship can take place is if God gives the repenting person who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior the Holy Spirit to live inside of them, who brings God and Christ and the living power and reality of Christianity into their hearts to form this bond, this saving knowledge between them and God. And after that takes place, we call it the new birth. they will want to go to church. They will want to read the Bible. They will want to pray. They will want to share the good news of salvation with other people. They will want to fellowship with other people. They will want to change their lifestyle, as the Bible says every true Christian will want to do that. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, or if he is a Christian, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old lifestyle is gone. All things become new.
And one other point I'd like you to clarify in Matthew 7 about the path that says, few there are that find it. Now, when you find something, that implies that there's something that we have to do to find something. Can you clarify what that means, that few there are that find it?
Well, we have to seek God Himself for the truth. It is us who have to pray. We have to knock on heaven's door. The Bible says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Ask and you shall receive. Jesus promised that if evil men know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? And so the true seeker, the genuine searcher for salvation, will desire these things, will be proactive and aggressive and very active in seeking salvation.
It feels like a hunger. It's a hunger that you need satisfied and then keeps you searching, looking for God.
That's why Jesus said, Bobby, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A true seeker for salvation is characterized by aggressively seeking God in prayer for salvation. When I was an unsaved person, a Jew who was brought up in New York City, Hebrew school for 6 years, bar mitzvah, but I wasn't satisfied with a mere religion and mere organized religion. I came to a place where I was so hungry and thirsty to know that my sins were forgiven. I began to call upon God, whoever God was. I didn't assume that the Jewish view, the Old Testament view of God, was the truth. But I wasn't trusting in other religions to define for me what truth was. I just went directly to God, whoever He was, and I began to call upon Him. Show me the truth. Show me the truth. And He did. He showed me. He directed me clearly to the Bible, the Scriptures, as defined by the 66 books of the Old and New Testament. And I began to study the Scriptures. God sent someone to me to share the gospel, the good news of salvation to me. And I believed it because it was the truth. God gave me the evidence in His Word that it was the truth. And I didn't need evidence to be saved because the Bible says that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ based on the grace of God. So in answer to your question, the few there are that find eternal life are those that pray, are those that trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are people who do not see their works as forming any part of their salvation, but only those who see salvation as a free gift from God based on His grace. They are the ones who eventually will become desperate and hungry and thirsty for salvation. They will therefore not remain idle or apathetic. They will believe the Scripture when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, shall be saved. And they will begin to call upon Him, pray to Him, and trust Him until God pours out the Holy Spirit upon them and gives them a new heart, takes away the heart of stone and gives them a heart of flesh and gives them a new spirit and puts His Spirit within them and changes them from the inside out. So their actions and behavior and lifestyle can change from wickedness, worldliness, and wildness to that of being godly and holy and walking on a new path of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, you mentioned truth, and that brings us to the next part of our verse. Jesus said that He is the truth. And that reminds me that the Bible says that when Jesus was standing before Pilate, when He was being convicted, Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" So, Pastor Joe, how would you answer that question?
Well, the truth is bound up in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus Christ as His spokesman. Jesus Himself is very God of very God. and everything he said was absolutely true. He was commissioned by God the Father to bring the truth and knowledge of God into the world and to teach people in the world the truth about who God is in his nature, in his person, and also to teach us the way in which we can find salvation. And so, again, in our text in John 14:6, where it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus uses the definite article, the. He says he's not a truth among many truths. He says he is the truth in order to emphasize himself as the only truth. All the other religions of the world are not true. They may have some truths in them, but they partial truth is not full truth when it comes to the need of full truth to validate the God of truth and the way of salvation through the true God of all truth. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminded his hearers of several points of the law. And then he adds, but I say unto you, but I say unto you. So he would say, you have heard it was said unto you in times past, thus and such. You shall not murder, or you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he would elevate the truth, not the nature of the truth, but he would expand and he would add to what is already true. He would modify it, and thereby he would equate himself with the law of God, with the word of God, as the authoritative standard of what is true and what is righteous. In fact, Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And so Jesus, as the incarnate word of God himself, is the source of all truth. He is the spokesman of the Trinity, commissioned by the Father to bring us God's message and teach us God's will. For example, as you quoted earlier, I'll quote it again from John 1:14, where it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is full of truth. In John 8:31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, in John 18, it says, for this cause, Jesus said, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so Jesus came to teach the truth. Jesus came to teach us the doctrine that God gave him to share with us. He himself is the truth, not a truth among many truths, but the truth. That is the only truth.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as he inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. If you would like to send us a financial gift, we'd be ever so grateful. Please make your check out to First Love Radio and mail it to First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California, 94568. Or simply donate on our website, FirstLoveRadio.org. That's FirstLoveRadio.org. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.